So there you go. That's what Wikipedia thinks an alien abduction is. I see they use the word phenomena a lot. No, just sent me that. Well, no, like alien abduction syndrome or alien abduction phenomena. Why not just an alien abduction? I guess you could call it a syndrome, but it's not really a good word for what's going on. And a phenomena, it's only a phenomena if you don't have a clue what it is. We kind of have an idea what it is, so you got to kind of rule phenomena out as well. Just you know, not hating, just saying, guys. It's just sometimes they get things, and then you gotta, when people write these things, you know, about alien abductions, mind control, things like that, you know, see, like here it says, typical claims involve forced medical examinations, emphasis on the subject's reproductive system. Abductees sometimes claim to have been warned against environmental abuse and dangers. Now, you know, it's a bitch because back in the 60s and 70s, that's all contactees ever talked about. Abductees ever talked about was warning us about global warming, warning us about climate change, actually. Their words, not ours. So here we are in 2021, 50 years later. 60 years later. And guess what? They were right. So there's a lot of stuff that they said back then that's actually coming to be true now. So you just got to kind of wonder. I know they like to throw the Betty and Barney Hill thing in there. A lot of them, I'm not exactly sure why. It's a famous abduction case, but it's not the most famous abduction case. And it's not the best information case that we've had. There's other cases out there to provide far more information, far more truth than that. Actually, Joshua, I wouldn't say they confirmed the UFOs. Well, okay, let me rephrase that. Yes, the Pentagon did confirm the existence of UFOs, but UFO only means unidentified flying objects. So they didn't. Actually confirm alien life. They're just saying that UFOs do exist, and they want to know what the hell they are. And at this moment, they don't know. I mean, you've got the U.S. Navy, the U.S. Air Force, all different armed forces, the Air National Guard, the National Guard, the Army, the Marines. And nobody knows the Homeland Security. Nobody really knows what the hell these things are. And we went, they're Russian. Well, if Russia's got that kind of technology, why haven't they invaded our country yet? Because that's far beyond anything we have. Same thing with the Chinese. So, and unfortunately, for the naysayers, the other governments, the Chinese and the Russian governments, actually have official agencies that look into unidentified flying objects. It's something they actually check into. Not just them, there's a lot of other countries that do it as well. So, you know, knowing that right off the bat, that leads you to know there's some phenomena going on that nobody understands what it is. It seems to have been going on for a long time. It dates way back a couple thousand years at least, probably more than that. But so here's a phenomenon that we know exists. Lots of documented cases, lots of eyewitnesses, lots of all kind of evidence, but for some reason we still don't want to talk about it. So why would the elite, the super elite, and the government not want to talk about extraterrestrials? I mean, what's the reasoning to it? Why is a powerful person, you know, say, we'll use Nancy Pelosi. Why, if someone like Nancy Pelosi knew an alien existence, why wouldn't she tell the people? One, it's her job. Yeah, abductions do happen in the military, and there are military abductions too, but why wouldn't she come forward and say, hey, people, you know what? Aliens are visiting our planet, and they're here for whatever reasons. You know, they do take some of us, but they do put us all back, and blah, 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 blah. And now at that point, you know, if the government admitted to that, then, of course, they would have to compensate all these contactees. So unless the government and they had a working program, they wouldn't even know who they were. So I'm not sure how that would work out either. The Anunnaki are, no, it depends who you ask. The Anunnaki could be the tall humans, they can be the Greys, and some other fair-haired, beautiful, blue-eyed race. Yeah, probably reptilian. But anyway, they could be any of those. It just all depends on who you're asking for that way. Mass panic is the excuse. Well, let's look at it like this. So don't think about the other 7 billion people in the world right now. Even if you're listening to us in a different country, which I know quite a few are, just think about America for a second. America's a pretty advanced country, mentally, physically. We're up there pretty good. So my point is, are we ready for it? Can America, if it was disclosed tomorrow, could Americans handle that truth? Now, as a researcher, I want to say yes. And big thing, oh, yes, we can. But as a person who knows other people, no, we can't. First off, half the country is still very religious. Actually, about 70% of the country is still religious. About 50% still go to church. And ET will drive more people back to the church. Because they'll be like, uh-oh, who are these guys? So it's a slippery slope. And the rest of the world's not even advanced as we are. I guarantee you most of the Chinese people are not ready, or Indian people are not ready for extraterrestrial contact. They'll be praying about it billions. Same thing, South America. Actually, that's not true. Parts of South America, Brazil, Colombia, a few other places down there, Mexico, they're probably ready for ET contact because it's been in their lore for longer, in their legends and stuff. It's been there much longer and built into it. But America, about half of, maybe a third of America is really ready for contact. To really be able to say, wow, we have aliens visiting the planet and this is what they're after. This is what they need. This is what they want. This is why they're here. Right now, nobody seems to want to talk about that. If you ask someone in the government who does know that ET does exist, and you ask them what are they doing here, you're going to get 5 million different answers. It's just nobody, they'll give you, okay, I shouldn't say they won't give you a straight answer. They will give you a straight answer, but every time you ask somebody else, you'll get a different answer. And don't get me wrong, it could be there's multiple agendas. I do actually personally think there's quite a few agendas out. I think that's just part of the way this works out. They're running multiple agendas, and most of those agendas are not about us. I think that may be the single hardest thing for humans to accept is, yes, you are being abducted. They are taking your children. They are doing these experiments. So you're doing lots of other things. But in the end, this is more about what they need than what we need. Sorry, guys. It's, even though progressing us along at a good rate is a good thing for them. It's a good thing for the Galactic Council, a good thing for the universe, a good thing for us. As long as everything goes according to plan and there's no nuclear wars or something else along those lines, which could happen. We could have multiple wars along. So, I want to say that open contact is the way to go. But when I look at my fellow man, I'm forced to think that it's not. Look at COVID. COVID's a perfect example. People are done going cock crazy idiot eyes over this virus. One section wants to do this. It's basically broken into four groups. And they're all vastly different than the other one. It's stupid. It's like anything else. We people have a particular view of things. This group, that group, that group, this group, whatever group. So same thing with ET, if there's this much controversy and this much division amongst the virus that's actually killed 2 million people now, then just think of the hell kind of division there's going to be when extraterrestrials show up and say, hey there, Bob, how you doing there, man? I'm from Alpha Centauri. I come to visit for a while. I want to check things out. I'm not thinking these guys are going to be all that happy with us. But anyway, I know we're kind of straying from the topic, but when we talk about these alien abductions, usually I'll get a phone call. A lot of times it starts like this. Ring, 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 click. Ring, ring, hello, iCar, click. Hello, John Montaldo, click. This goes on a lot. Oh, I'll get an email with some very vague things in it. I don't know. That's a good question. It could be anything. It was probably who they said it was, but who knows? I can't say it on air because YouTube will throw us off. They don't like us talking about that particular subject for some reason. It's a nasty. I guess they just want to hate when that kind of stuff goes on. But so I'll get these phone calls or I'll get these emails or the organization will get these emails and I'll get sent over. And usually what we do is we'll almost immediately refer you to a section of the website to go fill out a questionnaire. you know, what a contact questionnaire, really. So you're going to go fill this out. Some of them are 75, some of them are 100 questions long. They're designed to be long and boring because only someone who really was contacted will take the time to finish the answer. Because we do ask a lot of questions, and a lot of questions are personal. So after that, along with the reduction criteria, we'll make a determination whether we should be investigating. If we do, then we'll assign somebody, it could be anybody, it could be myself or anybody else, we'll assign somebody to your case to watch your case. And we'll talk to you and help you through it. And if the investigation turns out that we do consider you to be a bona fide alien abductee or contactee, then yes, the organization will go to great lengths to help you any way they can, you know, help you understand better, help you develop your psychic awarenesses and abilities and stuff. It's just somebody to talk to about your weird experiences, things that's going on. I was going back up and I seen that question about was Travis Walton's case alien Millab. It's kind of like the Hills case. What I mean by this is it's both. So in the Hills case, we realize now, and I know a couple of people like Kathleen and don't like to agree with this, but this is what really happened. They were abducted in Canada and military abducted. So the abduction that's most famous for the Hills is actually a military abduction. It's not an abduction. All you have to do is go back and listen to the 70s tape of Barney and Daddy talking on different radio shows. And you could tell that they talked about skin and urine samples, blood samples, using needles, swinging doors and stuff like that. The point is that's not alien, that's human. And it sounds like the Center for Disease Control probably picked them up to find out how they've been exposed. Because Barney had been being watched for a long time, so they probably knew right when he was being taken and just waited for him to get back into the States. But it's the same thing with Travis Walton. I've interviewed Travis Walton about 6 or 7 times, and he's been interviewed on the station probably more than about 30. So you get Travis Walton, and he's a great guy, and you talk to him, you know, I ask him questions like, did you ever consider you wasn't alone on a mountain at night? Or did you ever consider that they knew you were there? And that's the reason they were there, is because you were there. I said, did you ever stop to think about those kind of things? Because that's probably what was going on. Since they didn't take any of your partners and they only took you, that's probably why. You're a contact, you're an abductee, and the rest of them are. They just took you because you was there. And it always weirds him out a little bit. But what I mean is, if you read his book, so he gets taken also, but he's handed off at the end to what sounds like the government. And that's who drops him off and puts him back. So in his own words, he'll tell you, that he meets two people in suits, CDC suits, like, you know, white suits for protection against disease. They also tell you they're not telepathic, they're speaking English. It sounds like two people who were picked him up to, you know, they probably knocked him out somewhere along the line, ran a bunch of tests, and then dropped him off wherever and left the alien abduction thing in his head. Because that was a good excuse. Remember, especially back in the 60s, 70s, even the 80s, the government was way less chalant about the way they do things. And they just come grab you, throw you, take you, do your thing, poof. And then, you know, of course you're crazy if you said you saw aliens. Well, also an alien bomb. Guess what? You're nuts. And that's just the way they played it off. So they had a lot of plausible deniability. Not as much today, but still a lot of plausible deniability. So the government really had free land, free on anybody who came public as a contactee. You just gave the government a shot to Millab. And I tell this to people who want to go public all the time. I said, remember, once you go public, you can't take it back. And I said, and if the government finds that you may be interested or have information they could be interested in, you're going to get Millab. I said, and whether the aliens get mad about it or not, or come get you or not, you're still going to get Millab. I said, so you need to think about that before you go public. You know, it's going to interfere with you and your life and your family and every other thing. And a lot of times when you go public, it tends to consume your life. So you got to be extra careful about that as well. So anyway, it's going back to what we were talking about. I get these weird phone calls or get these weird emails, and you know, they'll have this little information. A lot of times it'll be like, oh, hi, Mr. Joe or Mr. Metallo, how you doing? I had this dream last night, and I dreamt that something came through my wall and it put its hand over me, and I was being held down like by some kind of force. I remember them looking at me, and I see like a little lit rod, or the fingertip was lit, or something, and they just kind of moved for me, and then I was out. but I was still kind of conscious in the fact that I could see myself passing through walls or things like that. Well, that could be an alien abduction, that's for sure. And it could also be sleep paralysis for sure as well. So you got to be real careful there. You got to take it to the next level and see what comes out. See what they can retain after they leave the house. What kind of environment were they in? What kind of things that they were seeing? What kind of smells, hears, tastes? You know, what else can they see? Because one of the things we do when we put you under is we'll put you in a room on a ship or a room in a building, and we'll ask you to start looking around and describing what you see. Whatever tools you see, whatever beams you see, where the light sources are coming from. Is there any noises, any hummings, any buzzings? What's the air smell like? And what does anything smell like? And you know, you get into quite a few of these questions just to see what kind of environment the person's sitting in. And it helps to find out where they are. And sometimes it'll be alien, sometimes it'll be Uncle Sam. Well, I don't even want to say Uncle Sam because it's not a true statement. I mean, the government per se, and in this case, I was going to say Barack Hussein government, but Joe Biden's government, they don't per se go out abducting people and tracking alien stuff. That's not their job. They're the government that runs the country. This other government, whatever the hell it is, and it may not actually be a government. It's some kind of group. I guarantee you there are people from like Lockheed and Boeing, retired colonels, retired generals, retired admirals, retired politicians, other people in those same ranking areas. These are the people who actually probably run these black projects off the books and away from the government. Again, plausible deniability. The government doesn't need to be associated with any of this for a multitude of reasons. But I tell people all the time, if you want the government to disclose anything, you got to give them something. Forgiveness, for one, because they've been keeping a secret for a long time. And two, well, actually double forgiveness, because you know the contactees and abductees are going to lose their minds, and they're going to want to sue and go crazy. They're going to want their pound of flesh, because the government allowed them to be taken, probed, mutilated, and what have you, and that's what they do. And that's a good segue into our topic tonight, the darker side of alien abductions. So there's a lot of what I would call dark things that go on. Sometimes they'll do psychological things like screw with you with your beliefs. You know, one of my favorite stories, I always love telling this story, so this is just a creepy ass story, by the way. So this woman's laying on the bed, on whatever she was on, the table, whatever she was on, and she's screaming, invoking the name of Christ. She was just screaming at the top of her lungs. Both mentally and physically, she was, I mean, both mentally and verbally, she was putting this out. I mean, just as hard as she could, and she's praying, and Gray came up to her, took the fingers, reached in, and pulled her eyes out, and turned them around so she could see herself, and said, "Now, pray to your God to stop this." So is that sadistic? Is that some creepy sense of humor, or is that trying to prove a point that your God isn't superior to our God? Could mean anything, but still, it's horrible, and it did happen. It's not the only place we find these experiences that run in the 20s. Sometimes body parts are detached. There's damages that you can tell have been repaired. But the technology, we don't understand. As a matter of fact, one of the first x-rays I ever seen, I still remember this surgeon. He goes, that is the cleanest break line I have ever seen. He says, like something went in there and cleaned the edges and smoothed everything and then put some kind of liquid in there to make it, this is like a band-aid, and it's perfect. He said, there's nothing, new technology I've ever seen that can do that. He didn't know what to think about it. Sorry about that, guys. Got things blasting on. Shouldn't have on. Hit the button off there. Oh, sorry. I hit the damn thing turned off. So, I mean, there's just things going on here that are just really scary. I mean, we go back to the doctor. I mean, he talked about this. You could tell. You could see in his eyes. One, he was kind of like, wow, this is cool. And then the other part of him's like, and what is this? Where did this come from? Who did this happen to? You know, because it kind of creeped him out because he couldn't explain it. But in this particular case, so this is an abductee, a verified abductee who's been through voice stress, polygraph, and hypnotized on more than one occasion, for that matter, on all three. So I find it very interesting. So one of the first things that we found out is around 23, 24. So we tell people this. These memories between when you start puberty and you hit about 28, most of the shit you do not want to remember. It's horrifying. So, perfect example, they upload the person onto the ship. Well, they abduct the person to the ship, and then they upload their consciousness. And I couldn't tell you if it was a hologram of some sort, or if it was one of these host bodies. But they put them in basically a no-win situation, and limb body parts getting blown off and then being reattached. Now, what you got to understand about this is when they upload your consciousness, it's real to you. Pain, everything, the whole nine yards is real. There is no difference whether in your body, this hologram body, or the host body, you're still going to feel everything. You're going to sense everything. The only difference is your reaction times may be quite a bit faster, mentally and physically, in the host or hologram bodies. Because the human body is just not built for that yet. We haven't evolved that far yet, so I should say. But anyway, so there's one scenario. They got them somewhere, and some planet somewhere, trying to remove what the Greys referred to as an alien infestation, in other words. And they had these humans there. So this was a scenario. This was a reenactment of something that was really going on. And in these reenactments, these people were just getting just wiped out, man. One of the aliens just ripped his spine out. But the person, remembers that. But there's been cases where the physical body has been damaged. The real body has been damaged. They had done a couple of occasions, there's been spinal cords removed. There's been x-rays of this, which no one can explain whatsoever. Because you can tell by the way it was put back in that it had been moved out, which is just strange. Broken limbs, limbs are reattached in several different ways. Holes and marks inside the skull. Things that you just, and you remember, most of the stuff people don't remember, but these marks are still there. And a lot of this is in the thing, like, there's one scenario where the Greys are trying to teach humans how to fly a certain type of craft. The craft itself, when they talk about this, there's things that actually go into your head, the back of your head, the bottom of your base of your neck, where your spine is, and where your temples are. It actually drills holes and goes into your brain. It attaches itself. Some type of cybernetic / direct contact to the ship. Well, for, maybe an advanced body or an advanced alien, yeah, that's all fine and dandy. But for some human, that's got to freak you out, first off. And then secondly, I wonder what kind of damage it leaves to the human brain. Also, it's going to make the military want to get you, because they're going to want to see where parts of the brain they were tapping into. So it's a double-fold thing for anybody who goes public about it. See, I'm talking about that, but I'm not going to mention anybody's name. You don't want anybody getting abducted because of me. But these kind of things happen fairly regularly. They happen with other groups. And there are training scenarios where, unfortunately, humans get hurt. And then they wipe their memories and put them back. They fix the body parts or re-detach or put your eyes back in or whatever the hell had happened to you. And then they put you back. And here you are going to have your little breakfast in the morning, getting your Starbucks, going to work, listening to idiots on TV talk about COVID, and not ever having any idea what just happened to you. Other than for some reason you might feel a little nauseous, a little sore, or aches and pain that you can't quite figure out. You can put an implant inside if they want, but they don't need implants. When ET puts an implant in you, it's usually for something they're doing to you. They don't use them for tracking. They can track you via your DNA. And they can track you through your ship or telepathically via your DNA. Yeah. They're pretty advanced compared to where we are. We're learning. It's one of the things we're going to be using in the future is tracking people by their DNA. Just by scanning an area, you can identify DNA. That'll take a long time because that's like fingerprints and feetprint that we use pretty soon. Now everybody's getting DNA. But it'll be a little bit more advanced than that in the near future, and they'll be able to track you a lot easier. I don't so much care about that. It's, for the most part, worrying about being tracked by the government, unless you're a smuggler or something along those lines, there's no reason for it. They're not that interested in us. For the most part. It depends what you're doing. Well, they're interested in me, of course. Yes, thank you for saying that, but that's all because of what I do. But for the most part, you can call in the show, right into the organization, catch one of the directors. There's only certain things we keep secret. Certain abduction criteria, that's really, really so that we can distinguish between who's lying and who's telling the truth. Oh, you like the skull back there? Yeah, he's back there. Yeah, that's all the great on the classics. All good reading, dude. I should check it out. What's that about, Marco? So anyway, so you get these cases, and they get darker and darker. You know, they'll show up at their homes, and they like to do the good cop, bad cops, and I never understood that. So sometimes we'll show up, and someone will show up in Holocaust cloaks with glowing red eyes. They're still grays, by the way. There are some reptilians that do it too, but these ones I'm particularly talking about right now are grays. But they'll do it, and they'll be like all nice to you, and they'll be like, man, look, we do what we want, and we're going to eat you or feed you to somebody or something. Hi, man, how you doing? It's a strange thing in itself, these different kind of contacts. But we're only talking about the dark ones. And I don't want people to get the wrong idea tonight. Not all alien abductions or alien contact is dark. Just what we're talking about tonight is, in general, there are good, what I call good abductions, enlightened abductions, and what I call just everyday abductions, where basically they're picking you up, running you through a gamut of checking your health, maybe giving you a couple of lessons and then bringing you back, maybe a download or two, and sending you back. That's just what I call it. It's just a generic abduction. It's not good or bad. It's neither one. Not all of that. Probably about half of abductions don't fit into the good or bad category. It's just what it is. It's like your checkup, you know. You know, you don't really hate your doctor unless you tell him something you don't like. But I mean, you know, you got to go in every so often. So it's kind of the same thing with this. So they're not really doing anything harmful there. They're not doing anything for you. But there are times when you're on board the ships, they're teaching you all kinds of things, from literature to the way some of their technology works and the designs of their craft. But none of that you're going to retain here on Earth, because it's a memory overload when you're on board the ship. You know, we talk about this all the time, but humans on board ships can access the onboard computer. So it's like a cloud when you're on the ship. You have access to their cloud. You can store your stuff in your section of the cloud. And you can look at other stuff in there. You can also use it to communicate or learn lessons other ways, like a quick download. So in the beginning, we used to think all the downloads were from aliens, but we realized, since we have the ability to upload stuff to this consciousness level on the ship, sometimes we may be setting up our own downloads, the stuff that we've learned that we would like to carry into this life for whatever reasons. Then it's got to be stuff I'm sure ET approves, but still, it's interesting to think that we can even do those kinds. It's because we knew for a long time that ET was giving us downloads, but it never made sense to me some of the types of downloads that were being given. It always made me think that we had some kind of input. Now we realize we did. We actually had an input on some of the stuff, that we did, not all of the stuff. But in these other darker cases, like I said, they'll come into your room sometimes and they'll terrify you. They'll try to scare you into whatever it is they're trying to do. And I really think they're just trying to sense the level of fear and how far you'll go fear-wise before you react. And what I mean, I'm not talking about like, say, oh, stupid alien or something. I'm talking about react. Either curl up in a ball or get up and smack somebody in the head. Either way, it's a reaction. And I think that's one of the things they're looking for, is to see that reaction and see what it's going to be. And I think that's one of the things they use to determine what humans are going to be brought into the programs later on, to help be like communicators or keepers, you know, bring them up to the next level. And the other ones will probably stop being abducted sometime in their 30s. The ones that did poorly or things like that, they probably won't stop being abducted in their 30s. But again, after 30, these so-called bad abductions mostly just stop. Other things come in and take over. So I tell people, I say, hey, look, if you can make it through that 20 part. But what happens is these things start happening a lot in puberty and in your early 20s. So you become antsy and aggravated and nervous, and you can sense them when they're around and when they're coming. So it makes you really, really just jittery. So it makes it hard to control your life. And when you're 20 years old, you know, your hormones are raging in every freaking direction you can think of. Life is already hard enough, and you've got all this other weirdness going on. And you just keep feeling these weird sensations, these weird feelings, and this anger that you can't even figure out where it's coming from. It's like a serious anger. And if you have children, this anger is probably double than if you're single, because you know they're taking the children as well. Subconsciously, I should say. So you have this pent-up anger that you know they've been hurting you, they've been doing stuff to you, even though they wipe it out of your memory, something in your consciousness somewhere is like, no, there's something else going on here. Figure out what the hell this is. You know, and we refer a lot of people to psychiatrists or psychologists over the years. And because sometimes when people think it's alien abduction, it's something else. It can be a whole host of things. I mean, we found a variety of disorders that can make people think they're being abducted. Let me rephrase the way I said that. So, perfect example, a guy comes to me, it's about 22 years ago, and he's telling me about this what's going on. And I'm like, wow, dude, you're having a hard time. And he sounded really sincere. And he passed a lot of the criteria, not all, but a lot. So we set up a voice stress form just to see what he was saying he thought was the truth, which it was. So we hypnotized him. And under hypnosis, we found a spot on a particular day in time, around approximately, and I told him, I said, on October 1st of this year, what happened? And take your time and tell me about it. So he starts going on, and he says, man, I seen this bright silvery light, and it kept blinding me in the eyes. And then I remember being drugged and pulled in. Well, he was raped by his uncle. And that's actually what happened, and that came out in the hypnosis. So it's not always what you think it is. And sometimes as humans, because we've had other unhappy events happen in our life, we bury it into something that's not quite as unhappy, I guess. You know, for me, when some of these things come out, some of these manifestations come out, I'm thinking, wow, I mean, it's got to be pretty bad that you're putting alien abduction in its place. But there's other things too, like drug abuses and things that you forgot, or things that people got angry and did something out of anger and buried it deep in their head, and it comes back out. So. But, you know, that's for us, that's rare. It's probably, I couldn't put a number on it. It's very few cases, you know, a couple a year maybe. But in the most part, you know, we find out what we call abduction criteria. They were abducted the first time while they were still in their mother's womb, probably the first two times, and then right after birth, and then after that, they're abducted through childhood, which are pretty benign. And then, they're abducted in puberty and up to a 28, and those are pretty rough. And then after that, they're abducted, and it changes the way the abductions happen, especially if you're useful and you become a keeper, a communicator, someone that's working along with them, helping with their agendas, helping keep their abductees and participants, you know, calm and sort of happy. Because there's a lot of good things that go on board the ships. You know, we'll do a show. Anyway, next free date, we'll do one on the lighter side or the funner side or what goes on. But tonight, so, you know, they will put you in these scenarios. And I mean, no win. So they'll put you, sometimes, like I said, it will be in a hologram. And you know it's a hologram. You can tell. And still, when you get blown to pieces, it makes you crazy. And then they will actually take you and put you in what they call host bodies or husk bodies, if they're going to come. And, send you to another world to go participate in something. And sometimes add things in. And they really want to see how you're going to react to it. They also, a lot of times, send you to places just to see how you're going to react to another alien race. Yeah, well, you know, depends on the alien race, how I'm going to react. No, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, it would depend on the race. Are they hostile? Are they benign? Are they here to help? Or are they just wanting to see us? I mean, it would really depend. I mean, I'd just be like, wow, another alien race. That's cool. Until they did something, or vice versa. But, well, they study human reactions. I think they want to see what is it going to take to get us to be part of the galactic community. When can we be calm enough and not overreact to stupid shit? Well, some experiments are just horrifying. Well, you mean the milking machine? Yeah, well, I don't know if you can describe as hard, but I guess it depends on the individual. Yeah. Well, they'll do that, and they'll get X amount of sperm, and then they'll give it an egg and fertilize and grow it for a while, a couple of days, a week, and then they'll implant it back in the mother. And around 3 months, they take it. That's why those cases, there's a sign of pregnancy, and sometimes there's even you know, blood types have been taken. I mean, blood tests have been taken a lot of times, but sometimes there's ultrasounds where you can see the baby. But at 3 months, usually, horrifying abduction, you take it, they take the child, they tell you when they take it, they're not giving it back to you. They do tell you, though, if the child develops normally, or whatever it develops as, that you can visit it when it's on a ship. It grows at a much faster rate than children here do. It's one of the reasons I check, because if the child is not going to be weird, if it's going to be like look like a human and act like a human for the most part, they'll leave it. Even if it's got some gifts, some smaller gifts, they'll still leave it. But if it's one of closer to where they are, no, it'll just get in trouble. If you read the book Rachel's Eyes, she talks about her daughter, who was a hybrid, a human hybrid. Well, remember, the greys represented humans are not here to better themselves through us. They're definitely bettering us through them, but they're also using us for something else. I don't know if that's something else is. Well, the reptilians in the humans are about equal on technology, probably about size and mass and all of that. The greys come in a lot of different sizes and colors, but technologically they're far advanced than the others. Technically, the best thing you could say is the greys is they're like the galactic crews. They work for the council and the light beings. They just, I guess keep the shit from hitting the fan. Act as a, they act as a some kind of buffer, keep them from fighting. That's probably how they ended up here. I mean, the reptilians and humans were probably getting ready to get into a war way back in the day when they were screwing around, when the reptilians were stealing the Sumerian women and raping them. You know, human aliens were probably, they were probably about to get into a war. And then Ray showed up and said, "No, I don't think this is going to happen. I don't think we're going to let y'all get in here and get into no damn wars. We ain't going to let you kill all the humans, first off. We're not going to let you get everybody else in the galaxy pissed off either." So they've been here ever since. But they do have this. It's like here's another one for you. So this happens to women more than men, by the way. So a reptilian will bring you back to the ship or back to wherever they're at the base. And they'll put you in this room. It's a glass room. And then they'll put in 7 or 8 adolescent reptilians. Probably, if maybe preteens, I guess, would be the most relevant to our children. And these kids are rambunctious, jumping around, scratching, knocking the woman around, doing shit. What they want you to do, because technically she's the alpha over them, she's older and higher up in the clan because she's not a child. Remember, the reptilians consider all their abductees part of their family, because they have only abducted family lines. So they want her to assert authority over it. They do it with men too, but for some reason they do it more often with women. I guess so they can show them that, no, we're not evil, this is what we are, and this is how you react to us. And sometimes women will take right to it and assert authority, and they will settle down and behave themselves and do it explicitly, and sometimes they won't. But they can sense the fear on you, so just like any other animal can. So you really got to mean it when you deal with it. I think it's just part of the training, but can you imagine? You're like a 20-something-year-old girl, and these damn things are knocking you against the wall, scratching you, clawing you, leaving marks all over you. Bruises, all because they're trying to teach you a lesson. And I don't know about all that. Now, but these, there's, like I said, there's so many of these ones. There's also like, this goes back to the reptilians. They'll come in, so they can come into your house or go anywhere. Like that. You could be on board one of their ships, or they want it to be a group meeting. So they can come in and single you out and then take you, do whatever they want with you. I mean, whatever, from sex to anything else. And then you're supposed to be okay with it, because in their society, if they're an alpha, male or female, that's part of their right, because they're an alpha. And that's how they do it there. Now for you, of course, you're like, whoa, wait a minute now. I'm not thinking I like this. Even if you did, you're probably still thinking you're not. So, and you want to get angry and mad and beat on them and do whatever, well, that's not going to work. That's not going to make them stop. Matter of fact, I don't know what that's going to do. It's not going to make them stop. The only way you can really make them stop is to tell them, but you can't say, oh, Mr. Alien, Mr. Reptilian, stop. No. It's got to be forceful, and it's got to be from within. I mean, you've got to mean it from inside. And not even in a hateful sense, just in a sense that, no, this is not what I want. Stop. Not please stop. Now, can you stop? You just got to push it across, and they'll stop then. No, that won't keep you from getting abducted, by the way, but it will stop whatever's going on at that point. The reptilians like to appear to men and women as beautiful, beyond belief, beautiful men and women. Yes, Yeah, I think. I guess because, you know, they might have sex with humans, and most humans are not going to be keen to having sex with a reptilian, so they just dress themselves up. I don't know if I'd call it that, but they just have the ability to make people around them see what they want to see. They often wondered what the range on that was. So, like, if you were in an airplane and he was sitting in the front and the stewardess was walking to the back, could you see him as a reptilian? It must not be, because, you know, somebody would have said something. So it must be, they must be able to control a big enough area that it gives them a feed. Whatever they're sending out or however they send it out must, well, no, they don't physically change. You ever look at that? No, they don't physically change. Well, because let's look at this one different. The light beings can probably physically manifest themselves, change into things. But ordinary humans who are made out of flesh and blood, I don't think so. You'd have to be made out of energy or plasma to be able to shapeshift. Yeah, I don't think just an ordinary everyday being can do it. Even the greys who are designed differently than we are and built differently than we are and don't even have bones, even they, I don't think, could shapeshift like that. They could make you think they would. Oh, yeah, they could put it in your head. Because obviously they do that already, because we know from multiple contacts, our mass contacts, that sometimes we 6, 7, 8, 9 people, and everyone will tell you the gray looks different. One guy be like, oh, he's like 6 foot tall. Oh, you know, he's 3 foot tall. Oh, he's got his eyes glow. Oh, his eyes are big, this big. Oh, his eyes are this big. Oh, he's got 3 fingers. No, he's got 4. Oh, he's got an opposable thumb. No, he doesn't. But they're all looking at the same alien, so how can it be? Yeah, obviously, you're just, the alien puts out something, and when you see it, you just see what you think you want to see. Interesting technology, and so I'm sure our government would love to get his hands on that. Well, no, because you got abduction cases, like here's some British cases, and we use Britain AI or itself as a control group now, but we think the aliens do, because a lot of what we consider classic alien abduction 101 still happens on British Isles, and a lot of people being abducted there are still very angry, whereas not all over the world. So, here's a lady, she's sitting there, she's fell asleep. She's got a kid in each arm. One nurse and the other one just passed out. She wakes up because she felt her kid kind of bite down as it was moving away. And he made her open her eyes. And when she opened her eyes, there was a human-like alien standing in front of her. Big, you know, human aliens are 7 foot, 7.5, 8 foot, you know, 400 or 500 pounds. They're big. They're like little twins. They're about the same size, though. Their heads are shaped a little different size. Their bodies are a little different than us. I mean, they look human, but you can kind of tell they're not quite us. They usually have 6 fingers or 6 toes, 6 digits anyway. Anyway, he was grabbing the baby and pulling the baby. And then she said she opened her eyes and the baby let go. And she looked up and she just started screaming. Because, you know, she thought there's a man in her house and you're in chair, movies are hanging out, and he grabbed her baby and she's freaking out. And she said it looked at the baby and the baby just went limp. She said, I freaked. She said, I thought he killed my baby. He said, I just lost it at that moment. And for some reason, he said, she reached down, grabbed her by her foot, and started dragging her up the stairs. She said, my head was bouncing. She said, I had bruises and stuff all over my back. She said, I don't know what the hell was going on. So I remember him just kind of looking at me, picking me up, and basically tossing me in the bed. She figured, oh shit, I know what's coming next. And then she said, I remember this weight, like pushing him down on my body, and I got to thinking, where is my other baby? Because he still had the little one in his arm, but the other one was nowhere to be seen. So she's screaming hard, wanting to know where her kids were. So she witnesses her son being taken. I think she's like 6 or 7 years old, I'm not sure. And she witnesses being taken. The other alien picked him up and was basically floating him through the house and bringing him out through the side of the house, going to get rid of the impression. She was watching us, and she was free. She said her kid wasn't screaming or anything, but she was free. And she said, I remember I couldn't move anything. I couldn't say anything. She said, I was just stuck. She said, it was like somebody just poured molasses all over me and let it harden, and I was stuck. And it was like, I started pleading, give me my baby, give me my baby, give me my baby, give me my baby. And he looked down and said, it's not your baby. We'll do whatever we want with it. And he left. And took the baby, left her there. And they were gone. They thought this woman killed her kids. The kids were gone for 3 days. And they wouldn't track the father then, because the father wasn't living at home, because, you know, his wife was a nut, because she'd be in front of him. And they thought maybe the father had the kids. He you free because your kid was going to raise. I think what a loser. You didn't even know your kid was gone for 3 weeks. Get the hell out of here. What's wrong with you? For 3 days. And so they come arrest this woman. Do all kind of, interrogate her all kind of ways. This is like the second day I think they arrested her. He kept her most of the day, and then they released her. Of course, they couldn't find anything. And at that point, they put out a missing child thing, thinking these two children have been taken, and, you know, oh shit. And then the next day, the cops came by, her husband came by, and they were talking. And they all went outside because they heard some weird noise. And when they came back in, both kids were there. The smaller one, which I think was a girl, was laying on the couch asleep. And the son was sitting there, you know, kind of like walking his feet. And when they asked him where they'd been, they said, with their bug-eyed friends. And I was kind of like, and then she said, I remember the next time I pleaded, and they let me come with him. And when she said she watched as they went in, they inserted something under his ear and it went through, and she said you could see it flashing under his front eye, whatever it was. She said they put something through his ear. She said they did all kind of stuff to him. She said I lost it. She said I must have blacked out because I don't remember anything after that. I mean, here you are, you're a mom, and you're watching your kid basically be tortured. It's kind of, you know, she said that the kid never screamed in agony or anything. She said, as far as she could tell, when she asked him at home, he didn't remember anything. But she remembered all of it. But she must request it because usually they'll block that kind of stuff out. Well, Jimmy, she said she thought it was some kind of sadistic torture that the aliens let her remember. Because they didn't let the kids remember, yeah. Yeah, they're kids. They probably don't want them to remember. The mom, they might just be testing to see how much she can handle. Psychologically, anyway. Well, I don't know about that either. They've taken other children all the time. And sometimes parents witnesses when it happens, sometimes they don't. Well, perfect, another example, a guy I've been knowing for about 20 years now, he calls me up. He called me up and met me at a conference. And he was telling me about when they took his son there, as far as he knew the first time, he was screaming in the yard, jumping up and down with a shotgun as his son was floating up to the UFO. It was a great attempt. He said, and he's so angry with himself, he said, I woke up, my son was standing next to me, and he said, Daddy, get back, and then my mother did, can I get in bed with you? And he said, no, we're not, whatever, and ran him back to the bedroom. And then he said, he heard something. He says, I heard something, somebody hit my roof or something. So I don't know what it was, so I got up to go look out my window, and I see this disc-shaped thing just kind of sitting in hovering with this blue thing coming all the way in the ground. And he said, next thing I know, coming out the next room, next to him, he just sees the two grays and his son being taken as they're going through the sky to the beam and going up in the crowd. He said he ran downstairs, he got the shotgun, he's thinking, if I shoot it, if I hit my kid. So then he starts just shooting in directions like he was going to scan a UFO. And they just took him and left. And of course, he called the cops and all kinds of things. Cops came out, cops like, you're crazy. He was shooting guns, arrested him for discharging a gun and city ordinances, by the way. Took him. They searched everywhere, the woods, his house, everything. Couldn't find any foul play either. And they went back for some. Oh, one of the officers went back. Then we released the father. And he went back. I think they could get his keys or something. And the kid was like nothing had happened. When the officer interrogated the kid, the kid's like, no, I've been here the whole time. I don't know what you're talking about. As far as the kid was concerned, no time had passed, nothing. He was there now, you know, and you're not going to hit me. Well, some people might hypnotize a child. I'm not going to. Some people might. No, I have a pretty good idea of what went on. Anyways, I don't need to hypnotize them, really. We've had a lot of parents send us stuff over the years about what their kids have been saying, what they've been doing, what they think they seen or ran into. Yeah, we see a lot of that stuff. So. I don't get it. I don't really feel the need to hypnotize each other. I wouldn't anyway. I wouldn't feel the need anyhow. But it is something that we do see a lot of, you know, parents telling us what their kids are telling them. And usually it's pretty heavy stuff. But that goes right back to companies don't want to be alone, they don't want to sit at home, they're scared at night, they don't like to be alone at night if they don't have to be. They don't want to go to sleep because they're scared something's going to come. It's an anxiety. It takes over your life, you got to be careful. It just takes over. Because you just know they're coming. You know they're coming. And then you start tricking your body and your mind into that they're coming. So even if they're not coming, you've worked yourself into such an anxiety that you think they are. And remember, if you're telepathic or a psychic like that, you can manifest things through telepathy. So I don't mean aliens, but you manifest things to happen, just things breaking, TVs for them. So you have to be real careful here. Yeah. Well, here's an example. If you've got children in puberty that are telepathic, okay, things in your house may get a little weird sometimes. You might see images of things floating around. It's projections usually. It's usually from your child going to puberty. Because it's just all this energy they have, and it's got to go somewhere. It's all built up inside of them, so it gets released. And sometimes it gets released in manifestations and stuff. As a manifestation, I should say. Not like a real ghost or demon or alien, but it can manifest, the energy can manifest. But it can also manifest itself in a poltergeist form, where it's knocking things off, breaking things. But none of that's paranormal or alien. That's just a residual effect of telepathic childhood. I'm not saying it couldn't be, but it's usually what it is. We can blame the aliens and the ghosties for everything all day, but next thing you'll be telling me is the aliens committed COVID. Yeah, I don't think we'd have to worry about that. We'd all be dead if that had happened. If they were the ones that designed it, I don't think we'd still be here. I think there would be a new colony here now. Yeah, so I don't think it was there. I'll tell you about that story. So this lady, this young woman, her name is Emerald. She called me one day, and she's talking about it. She had just seen the movie, the TV series Taken. And she was in tears, screaming, crying. What's the matter? She said, you know the scene in Taken where the alien's kind of walking down the wall, and he's dragging the person by the foot? I said, yeah. She said, you know, that's happened to us. It's happened to a lot of people, actually. It's one of the few scenes in Taken that's actually a legit scene. So she goes on, she said, they'll come in, and I'm like, no, I'm not going, I refuse. And then they'll just grab me and drag me around, get in and kiss you, just drag me around, and put a potato sack, or toss me around. She said, they're so much stronger than us, and they are, quite a bit stronger than us. The grays are probably, even a little gray is probably 5 times, probably more than that, probably about 10 times stronger than the average human. Maybe it's because of where they grew up, maybe the environment they were in, who knows. Maybe it's because of the cartilage and not bones. I really don't know, but they are. And they can move and defy gravity without actually defying gravity. Yeah, it's kind of strange thing to watch. But anyway, she says they just came dragging her. She said, I remember just threw me into this room and slid me into this corner. I slid across the floor and hit this corner. And when I opened up my eyes, she said, I remember seeing 2 dead kids. She said, I thought they were mine. She said, they looked just like mine. Like decaying. And she said, I could smell it. It was horrible. And I was like, why would they do this? Why did they do this? And she said, when I got up and I was walking around, there were more dead people in there. And there was 2 of the live people in there. And they were all 3 standing in the middle of this room. I said, why is this happening? Are they killing us? Are they just going to let us sit here and rot? Is this what's going to happen to us? And she said, I remember just freaking out. She said, I got to thinking, you know, there's got to be something else to this. And she said, I remember seeing just a little shimmer of light behind a dead body tucked in a corner. And she said, I remember just pulling a body out, getting it out the way, feeling that the body was falling apart as I was pulling on it. And she said, I remember I went to go stick my finger to touch the light to see what it was, and then I was gone. She said, I was in another place. She said, and when I got there, she said, my kids were there. She said, not just mine, she said, there were several others. She said, they were kidding around and playing and cutting up. And then she said, I remember another flash, and then the gray just hit her in the face. She said, I just remember blood going everywhere. And I just smashed her nose. Like, and she said telepathically, she got this image of, why are you here? You're not supposed to be here. How did you get here? And apparently he was not happy. And she, of course, didn't know how she got there in the first day. She said the whole thing, and it kept cycling through. She said it was like a pain, violence. Each one was just something else. And she said, I remember when I was seeing the blood, and I looked down, and then it was like a white flash again. And she said, I remember I was sitting in my bed, staring at the wall, and when I looked down, all my shirt and my nightgown, I was covered in blood. And when I went to wipe my nose, there was no blood. There was still blood all over there. She was no damage to my face or anything. She said, there was blood all over my clothes. She said, first thing I did was jump up to go see where my kids were. She said, she ran in the room just to see the gray having her kid by the foot, holding it as it was going out of the window upside down. I wonder what he did. What, are they scared we're going to bite him or something? I don't get why he went dry. Did they not know that that's not our hands? That's our feet? And a foot fetish, it's just a little weird. And then, because a lot of times when they remove you, they float you out. They just kind of numb you out and just take you. The only thing I can think of in these cases is somehow or another you pissed them off. And it's vengeance of some sort. It doesn't make any other sense. It doesn't, you know, unless they're just trying to anger you or trying to hurt you to see what you're going to do next. I mean, you can't rule that out. I'm not saying that's what it is, but you can't rule it out. But there's just so many of these. And then, well, I remember this gentleman called me about this reptilian woman that was coming in and having her way with me. And it was really making him crazy. He said because it was such a mix of pleasure and pain, and he just didn't know how to react to it. It was like for every 2 ounces of pleasure, it was 3 ounces of pain. And he said for her, it seemed to just exhilarate things. But for me, it kind of threw me off. He said, you know, don't get me wrong, I was scratching here and there, loud. He said, but I don't, you know, it's just not what he was into, I guess. And he said, in a way, she was very sadistic, like, you're just my toy, and I can do whatever I want to you, and there's nothing going to keep me from doing it, there's nothing you can do to stop it. And I can kind of understand, you know, why he started building up fear there. He said, but what actually scared him more is that, like, she was becoming possessive. He said it came in, he was sleeping with his girlfriend, and it came in, threw his girlfriend out of bed, and dragged him off, kind of slapped him around a bit, and then let him go. And when he came back, his girlfriend was pissed, like, why did you throw me out of the bed? And any time he'd get closer, something would happen to him. She woke up one morning with three big, deep scratches, almost deep enough to have to get stitches. And the doctor said, what the hell? And fortunately for him, he had left to go to work earlier that night. And this happened after she went to bed. So nobody knows. It was just one of the things. But she ended up breaking up. She said, too many bad things happened. And he said other girls he's dated have said that. And he said he really met this really beautiful girl. He really liked her. And they went home to his house. They were getting ready to go out. They went to her house, and she was in the bathroom putting on her makeup. When she seen in the mirror a reptilian female standing behind her. This girl's like 5 foot, 120 pounds. The reptilian female's probably 6'9", 7 foot, 350, 360. Very intimidating, I would think, to a little chick. And she just freaked out. She remembers running around and running out the bathroom, and she screamed at this guy, telling him, and he just looked at her. He said, and it was like there was nothing there. Of course, you know, when she looked around, it was gone. I think something else happened like the next day. And she said, I don't want to go out with you anymore. Something bad's around you. I'd be like, look, reppy bitch, you better chill your ass out here. I don't know, huh? Go get your own booty, get off of mine. I don't know, possessive. But we get these kind of stories all the time, and we get different ones or different types of the same stories. And, you know, I'm leaving out a lot of stuff intentionally, but, yeah, we don't want to do what you were saying. Don't you criteria, but we get these. And we get these ones where they're taken to places and held and watched other beings being tortured or seeing how flesh is resurrected. Things like, it's just weird shit that you don't even know why they're doing. You know, what is it? Is it the shock value? Is it something else? I mean, what is it that they're trying to do? Why are you showing me this stuff? Why did they take some people off world and let them fight and some not? There's a lot of things you got to kind of wonder about why they're doing it the way they're doing it. What are they training us for? Are we going to become the new Galactic Police Force? Is the Greys getting ready to retire or something? I'm just curious. You know? It's kind of weird. We set the burglar alarm off. Somebody set the alarm off. Yeah, my alarm sounds like a chihuahua. It's just the my favorite sound. Well, we'll get into that in a minute, but we might as well go there now. So, you know, we were talking about these different aliens who come and take the men or women and do whatever with them. You know, it's funny because in the early days when I had probably 300 cases where women had written to me and told me about these different aliens having sex with them. I was like, get out of here. I know Earth women are easy, but shit, I didn't think it was a real thing, you know. It took me a while before I really started to think they were telling the truth. Shame on me, by the way. Because it didn't make sense in the beginning, but actually, after a few decided to be regressed, it started actually making a lot of sense. Which was freaky in itself. Well, no, it made a lot more sense. The aliens were kind of explaining why it happened, what they were doing, and things along those lines. Well, there's a lady I know who was the first person to ever tell me about the cleanup crew, the little short brown guys who follow behind the aliens when shit goes awry and they clean it up. Whatever it is, they have a planet. I don't think it's their home world, but it's some kind of manufacturing planet where they take all this, these decomposing bodies and different things that they find and turn it into stuff. I have no idea what it might be, food, it might be fuel, it might be furniture as far as I know. But they, when humans go there, and I've talked to probably 30 or 40 now that have been, they say, first off, the smell is horrible. It's like walking between rotten flesh and a junkyard, a garbage dump. They say it's just ungodly horrible. It makes you want to puke the whole time. Matter of fact, the aliens actually, when you first get there, they give you a pill or I guess it's a pill, that cancels the effects of a lot of what's going to happen. Yeah, because there's a lot of intense things that are used to melt the flesh down. And there are things that you might see that can be pretty horrifying. People have talked about skulls, you know, the size of automobiles, sitting on the side of this thing as they were being melted. It sounds like the governing council has found something to do with bodies. I'm not just talking about human bodies, I'm talking about all bodies. As far as we know, you know, because the Greys have the ability, just like the humans and reptilians, I'm sure other races, to upload their consciousness into a new body. So something's going to be done with those host bodies or your other body. So, you know, I guess when you're talking races here of trillions across the cosmos, then yeah, you probably do need some kind of manufacturing plant or some type of place to dispose of all this. We're talking about a council that's huge. When you talk about the Galactic Council that's huge, it probably spans the entire galaxy, and there's quite a few races. They talk about the world where the council sits in the water world. They talk about it. There's a lot of that information. We can talk about that on the shows, but really, it's an interesting thing in itself. Mark, hold on a second. Let me see if I can find it real quick. And click that right quick and see. All right. Well, they have their reasons why they're doing all of this. And in some ways, I think part of it is just bringing us consciously closer to where they are so that we can understand them better and maybe start making movement towards getting on maybe the Galactic Council or something. You know, making that next leap, that next effort to move humanity up the rung a little bit. to help us to understand that, look, you know, there's a certain way the cosmos works, and you idiots don't understand it. And we want you to learn these things. But there's a lot of stuff that goes on. Like I said, tonight we're already talking about the darker stuff and the nastier stuff. But, oh, you mean the religious thing? Oh, no, I cannot tell you how many times, especially the grays. The grays and humans do this a lot. Look at these two. For some reason, the grays do not like you throwing religion at them. It pisses them off. And that's when people are saying, well, the grays ain't got no emotion. My ass, grays got as much emotion as we do. They just don't show them all the time. They have better control of them, I guess would be a better way of saying it. But no, they get pissed about that. They're like, oh, you stupid human, what's wrong with you? So we're young, we infants in the grand scheme of things. And again, you know, they look at the universe differently than we do. You know, for them, they may think that we're wasting our time. They you know, whether the grays are religious or not, it's not really a thing. It's just they don't believe in our religion of any kind. As far as I know, there's no religion on this planet that the grays identify with. The reptilians and humans do have a single religion. You can learn some about it. I mean, sometimes it kind of like these are introducing bits and pieces of it. But still, not enough to really understand it compared to ours, is what I'm saying. Well, maybe the grays know Jesus. And maybe that's why they look at him different. They were here then. You know, they were here during his time. So, you know, they witnessed this. They witnessed the fall of Rome. They witnessed the fall of Greek and the rise of Rome. They witnessed the fall of Egypt. They were here for all of them. So, you know, it's hard to say where they're going to go with this next. They got their agendas, and like again, like I said, we're part of their agendas. That's who sent me these, huh? You're talking about these, right? Hold on. This has nothing but aliens, people. Talking about these, yeah. Actually, they're kind of a different kind of flavor. These are chocolate and vanilla. Smells. Yeah, I don't want something to chew. I quit smoking a long time ago, but I'm going to chew. Aliens evolve all the time. You know, that's a very interesting question. We'll touch on that just one second. We're going to save most of that for another show, but we'll touch on that for a minute. So, and riddle me this. A million years ago, there was a picture of a saucer, right? 50,000 years was the first cave drawing, I think. There's a picture of a saucer in a cave drawing in Europe that dates back about 50,000 years. Well, in the U.S., it dates back about 5. So, what I find interesting about this is these saucers seem to have been around a long time. So, we're wondering, is their technology stagnant? Is it just not advancing? Are they jumping back and forth through time? That's why we're seeing the same things. Or is it like what the Americans do? So a lot of times we keep the outer shell and rebuild the inner shell, you know, nice, soft, chewy, nuggety stuff. It's hard to say. But the grays are so far beyond us that their technology is integrated. It's alive. You know, they control their ships, all their ships through telepathy. And they can physically interface with them. I mean, my body can physically interface with the craft. The craft makes its own food and fuel. The fuel, the blue plasma they use, fuels the ships, feeds the grays, and exhilarates humans, and self-generates itself. Yeah, it's pretty advanced technology. So for us, it's hard for researchers to see the subtle differences between technologies because they're so much more advanced than we are. So it's hard to notice any changes. But we did notice because of researchers that guess what? The aliens are actually paying attention, because if we're paying attention, we'll notice that there's very few missing time cases anymore. Missing time has become a thing of the past for the most part. Most cases will have weird out of time things, you know, they have like time slips, or they'll arrive somewhere before they left. Weird time things. 14,000 years, 12,500 BC, that's a very significant thing. That's the only date in the cosmos that all of the constellations line up with their perspective pyramids or Angkor Wat. All of that only lines up at 12,500 BC. Maybe that one. Somebody back in the day knew precession very well to build monuments to something that happened 10,000 years before they were alive. Yeah, it sounds like aliens. But anyway, getting back to what we were talking about. So trying to judge their evolution is hard, but we can judge that they evolved in the fact that they pay attention to us. So, you know, missing time is kind of going the way of the dodo bird. But cover memories also went the way of the dodo bird. And what I mean by that is they loop memories now. So we're going to use Dolly for example. They snatch Dolly up. They grab Dolly. So they don't want Dolly to remember what they did, but they don't want to leave any memories that I can find in the hypnosis. So what they'll do is they'll find like Dolly's favorite ice cream and they'll loop it in her head. So for that particular memory, all Dolly remembers is having some chocolate or vanilla ice cream with a cone. That's it. She don't remember being taken by aliens or anything else. That's what she remembers. So it's hard for us to get past that because that's a real memory. That's not a cover memory. That's actually a real memory that your brain is clinging to because your brain knows that's a freaking real memory. So trying to find that anything underneath that is really, really hard to get to because first off, we have to identify what that memory is. What memory are they using to keep you from remembering what the hell just happened to you? See, in the old days, it was easier because they were using cover memories, false memories, things that would stand out. But today, they don't. They're much more sophisticated. And that's evolution against us. They realized what us, the researchers, were doing and changed the way they watched us and interacted with us. So we do know that there is a cause and effect between us now. Humans can cause and effect between the animals, which is nice to know that we can kind of, I don't want to say push them around, but at least make them pay more attention to what we're doing or how they're interacting with us. Discoveries like these always fascinate me when we run across them. Because it's little things like that that actually help you to understand what it is they're doing and why they're here. But yeah, so tracking how they evolve is a lot harder. But on the lesser races, because on board the ships, which we're not really talking about tonight, but on board the ships, a lot that goes on. Well, there's other alien races there that are around the same technological levels we are, other abducted races, would be the best way to say it. They're races that are also being taken like we are and being brought to these ships so we can interact with these races. And sometimes they'll interact with us, like the black-eyed children or black-eyed people. Well, there's a race of black-eyed people that are on board these ships all the time, and they do have children. That doesn't mean that everybody who sees a black-eyed child, black-eyed person is an alien. That's not what I'm trying to say. I have no idea because there's a lot of different accounts. But there is a group that we know for a fact now that's on board the ships, just like the humans are. Matter of fact, with the exception of black eyes, they look just like us. Yeah, I mean, they really, their build and demeanor, everything's a lot like us. I couldn't tell you what their government and military beliefs or religious beliefs are, but I can tell you they look a lot. And they're not the only race. There's lots of races on board there that they're doing things with. And then there's lots of more advanced races that you can interact with to a level. Gotta remember something. Most of the alien races don't want to interact with us. You know, they'll say, oh, there's 56 races coming out. It's not. There's no even evidence of 56 races coming out. Because most aliens don't want, we're dangerous, we're scary, we're ignorant, we're biased, we're racist. As a society, we got a long ways to go. So a lot of races just don't want to interact with us yet. There's not any common ground. If they try to explain their beliefs or their technologies, we'd be it's like when people tell me, well, I was interacting with the Anunnaki or the light beings on the cosmic level. Then aren't you lying? I'll call you out right now. There's no common ground there. Your brain matter is not on their level. They're so far beyond us that you just burn and fry just looking at their asses. That's why there's levels of consciousness, people, so that we can evolve and not kill ourselves while we're doing it. Well, some things we're just not ready to know. We're just not. We're dangerous. There's some things that people, I'm not saying that all humans would use things to be evil. Some humans would use things to help, but not all. They were always very good, there would be a bad. I don't think we have war with any aliens, Paul, mainly because they would whoop our asses. Think about it. The Greys could pop in and out of space at all. So if they wanted to, they just pop in, drop a couple of nukes, pop out, hit us with a couple of laser turns, pop out. We'd never be able to hit them or even catch them. It'd be really, really hard. I think they would win the battle pretty good. Yeah, I always wondered about the stories at Dulce and places like that where we got these big underground facilities and we're having shootouts with the Greys. Really, the Greys' telekinesis abilities are so good that all they have to do is think and crush your ass. Yeah, and it wouldn't be one of you. It would be like 5,000 of you at a time. Yeah, no, that's why the reptilians and humans are scared of them. See, in the beginning, we always thought the Greys worked for these other races. Then we found out later on that, oh, hell no, the reptilians and humans are scared of the Greys. Yeah, the Greys However, their mental abilities are far beyond any of the other races, except for men and light beings. And they can crush you by thinking about you, but more so, all they would really think about is squeeze that R in your brain and kill everybody you think to at the same time. Yeah, it's not a race that even really needs physical weapons in the way we do. No, but that's why I don't think there's any wars were. There may have been some wars amongst themselves back in the day, but I don't think they would war with us. I think it would be a waste of their time and ours to any way. But the stories are great, and they make for great reading, and they make for great great press. They could be, Christy. You know, when we get into those kind of things, because I've talked with people, because we've actually done shows on things like autism, and things that may be something else. You know, like when you see a savant sometimes a savant can be just ungodly brilliant, but at the same time be just as ignorant. And it makes you wonder, like, are they on a different dimensional plane, or maybe sitting in a veil on the next reality over, or two realities over for that. It's hard to say, though. It's interesting, though, because we talk about, matter of fact, we got a show on dimensions coming up in the near future. New technologies that might get us there and things like that. And, you know, one of the questions I got earlier tonight, are aliens coming here today? Are they from space? Are they from the dimension, from the future? Well, I don't really think there's so much from the future, because there's no real evidence to suggest that. In the early days, I kind of did, but today, not as much. Dimensions, the Greys reptilian humans are from this universe. But the Greys have the ability, especially, to pull us out of this universe. So that's one of the things we realized when abductions, when we stopped seeing missing time, what they were doing is they would pull you out and hold you. So they could take you 3-4 weeks and put you back 10 minutes before you left. As far as you know, nothing happened. They don't even have to do a cover memory because they put you back before you left.
Yeah.
I know, it gets confusing. But Jim Sparks, I was working with a group of contactees, and I'd already kind of figured this out that, you know, we spend way more time over there than we have memories for. Well, I was talking with Jim Sparks, and he's notably was considered by most researchers they have the most recall of anybody who's ever been abducted. He always said 100%. Then I got him on air one night, and I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, how many times were you taking that last month? He said, probably about 15. I said, what do you think, 4 or 5 hours of time? He said, probably longer than that, about 8. I said, okay. I said, so what is that, 240 hours? That month you were taking. I said, so can you give me 240 hours worth of memories? He's like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I've talked to you a lot. I said, we've got about 15 hours of audio between us talking about your cases. I said, so you just got to come up with another 235 hours, because that's how much more time you've been taking than you've got information for. And at that moment, he realized, oh, shit, yeah, I've been being taken a lot more than I remember. And I tell the story a lot because it's one of my favorite stories, but. We were having dinner with a couple in Pensacola, and we had a great dinner. We all took pictures at the end of the dinner. The lady went around the camp, she's taking pictures. So we had nice hard Polaroid pictures. Everybody was dressed really nice, ladies in dead dresses, guys all clean and pretty and all. And so I was getting ready to leave, so I spent the night, one more night there before I was coming back to New Orleans. 6:30 or 4 on my phone, it's just me. Who was calling me at 6:30? I look down, I see it's them. I'm like, so I pick up the phone, I'm happy. So what's going on? You gotta come in there, you know what happened. So they're just freaking. So we get out, we drive over there. I open the door, and I'm like, I look at the guy, I'm like, who the hell are you? He says, me, John Lewis. This guy's got a beard like this. I mean, it's like 4 or 5 weeks, three to four weeks worth of growth on his face. I'm like, Jesus, dude, your beard grows fast. He said, no. And so I'm pulling on thinking it might be fake, and it's not. So he says, well, wait, you ain't seen anything. So his wife comes walking out the back, it's short. She looked like Wolf Girl. She had too much hair in her legs. I'm not kidding y'all, dude. So they went and had a checkup with the doctors and told them, because you can clearly see the pictures, time, dated, and everything from the night before. It's taken about 10:15 in the evening. Not 9:15 in the evening. And you can see all of us. You can see the girls with their legs, they're wearing dresses. You can see he was completely clean cut. I was wearing a beard, but not as thick as this one. The next day, so I got to prepare some pictures of days, and then went to the doctors, and doctors are trying to say, like, spontaneous hair growth, but they're like, they don't even know how that would happen on two people, much less one. No one could ever explain what happened. Still to this day, no one can explain. Well, under regression, they were gone for 4 weeks. So in the time, from the time we dropped them off, which was around midnight, until 6:30 that morning, which is 6.5 hours, they were gone as far as we were concerned, or they were concerned. But under hypnosis, they were damn near gone for 4 weeks. And there was a lot of shit happened to them. They did a lot of off-road stuff. 4 weeks. That's how much more sophisticated they've gotten now in the way they do things. That they can hide that so easy by just pulling you out of time and putting you back. It's a good way of doing abductions. There's no missing time in the way. There's no need for cover memories. You know, because all you remember is, hey, well, some weird shit happened that went on. Now, real quick, because you know, we still got some time. Clara asked me about this. She heard us on the show today. So I know researchers like to talk about cover memories, right? Oh, Bud Hopkins, David Jacobs, blah, 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 blah. That's what it is. It's blah, 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 blah. It's all it is. And don't get me wrong, I like Bud. Bud was a great guy. I talked to him many times over the years, and a lot of stuff he did I really was into. But they were wrong. And I confronted him about it in Laughlin, Nevada. Oh, God. 18 years ago, or 16 years ago, but they're not cover memories, they're trigger memories. So you've just been taken by an alien, and you're sitting on your bed, and a hoot owl comes and lands on your window out of some weird-looking owl, weird eyes, and you're thinking, wow, what is that? Does that make you want to think that nothing happened to you, or does it make you think, wait, there's some weird shit going on? But more so, is UFOs. I don't believe anybody who sees a UFO, let me rephrase that. I believe only people who have had contact see UFOs. It makes people nervous when I say that. Well, I was never abducted, well, not that you know of you. That doesn't mean you weren't, because 98% of people who are taken never know they've been taken. Never. In their entire life. They'll never remember. They may have some weird dreams or something that manifests every once in a while, but they'll never remember they were abducted. So that's 98% of the population that's being taken. It's only that 2% that remembers. Maybe 3%, depending on who you will argue about. What's that, Bruce? We're not even distracted. What was that? Well, thank you, Chrissy. That's probably more black ops than aliens. Well, you gotta remember, there's a lot of military abductions going on out there. There's a lot of black ops stuff that go on out there as well. Oh, you mean the case of Florida? Getting back to the case of Florida. Well, no, that's what happened. There was no recall. So, yeah, they didn't remember anything when they came to see us other than they had all this hair on their face and everything. Yeah, and then under regression, we found out. And I didn't do all the regression. In cases like that, we usually divide it up. That way, it's the evidence is more believable. You know, because it's our job. Our job isn't to implant memories. Our job is to find memories. Yeah. But getting back to the trigger memory, so you see a UFO. What's the next thing you're going to do? You're going to be like, well, I just saw a UFO. What the hell? And then you'll be thinking more and more and more about it. You just saw a UFO. That a lot of times will start to consume your life because that was a trigger that would make you think. So somewhere along the line, when you were aboard the ship, you showed ET that you might be interested in helping out or participating or just learning what they're doing. So they gave you a trigger memory to let you know that something can happen to you so that you will investigate this at your own pace and your own time so you don't make yourself crazy. Yes, and once you do that, once you realize it's a trigger memory, you'll start manifesting dreams, you'll have other trigger memories, and you'll start to remember a little bit more, and 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 then you'll find something like you or someone else that will help you remember more. But remember this, people, hypnosis is a last resort. I know y'all hear me talk about hypnosis, and it is a usable tool. And again, if you're going to use it, bring somebody with you you trust implicitly. Set up a line of questions ahead of time. Do not use words like aliens, extraterrestrial, grays, spaceship, or any of that. Let the person who's doing it talk about that stuff. All you can say is, can you tell me more about what you just saw? Because the goal there is for them to give you the information, not for you to give them the information. One of my biggest problems with most people who work in the abduction field or in the ufology field, they have a tendency to lead the witness. We don't want that. That's contaminated evidence. We want you to tell us at your own pace and at your own time, and we want you to tell us what happened to you. So the trigger memory is exactly what they are. Oh, I saw some deer. I was riding on my bike and there was a big light in the sky. Then there was three deer standing there. Well, that's going to stand out in your head forever until you investigate that. you'll be like, what? That's what it is. It's a trigger move to let you know. They want you to go look and find it. And for a lot of people, when they do start to look, it will engulf their life like a freaking plague. It make COVID look like something easy. You know, how crazy, how fast it'll get out of control and get out of hand. It does. It'll leave people's lives up. And I've watched people spend fortunes on this. Oh, personally, myself, I could probably retire for what I spent on the deal. No doubt at all. And I don't even think it'd be a big deal. Because in the end, you know, I'm investigating now where the truth, and I don't mind putting my money where my mouth is. Most people won't, but I will. I mean, you know, we spent a lot of money in the early days, and then Katrina came, so we made a buttload of money, so we spent a bunch more. Hell, we spent $250,000 just getting the station. But it's just, you know, people need to know that this goes on. They need to know that things are going to happen, and sometimes it's not going to be horrible. And the reason, and we didn't even get into all the stories I wanted to tonight. The reason I want to bring this show up, because when we do the next one, I want people to say, yeah, there are some darknesses, there are some scary things that they can be mean, they can be cruel, and go out of way to be mean to you sometimes. They can do things to you in your home, they make you not feel secure. There's a lot of things they can do, but there comes a point where either it's going to stop because you're not useful anymore, or you've moved into a point where you are now useful, and it will change. And it will become a more symbiotic type relationship. And you'll learn more, and they'll help you learn more, and they'll help you do other things. So it can get better. And that's the whole point of this. Let me see if I remember this whole story. So this was a family that were out. No, I can't mention y'all because they're famous. If I mention their name, people don't know who. Anyway, it's a family of five. They're out in California. They're out in the Redwood. They went out camping. I think they were going to be gone for 7 or 8 days. And the very first day they went out, they recorded something that they thought was a Bigfoot, a Sasquatch. And I still remember when I seen the tape, I was like, well, that's pretty cool. Whatever. I didn't think it was a Bigfoot, a Sasquatch, but it looked like something big and bulky moving through the tree line. Well, I think the next night, they thought a bear had visited the camp because everything had been overturned and shit had been moved around. But nothing had been eaten or taken, so it wasn't a bear. The bear would have ate everything you could find, the little pigs. They're bad about that stuff. So it wasn't that. So the next night, they thought they were going to be smart, and they set up 4 trail cameras, right? And what they caught was a very big reptilian who got very angry when they flashed it and caught him on camera. And from what he tortured all 5 of them for 3 days. And then on the 3rd day, when they were almost close to death, all 5 of them, he brought them on back to ship and turned them over to the graves, by the way, who put them in blue plasma, regenerated them, and then replanted them back at their campsite. This all came out. I did the 2 adults, and the oldest teenager who was, at the time he was 17, but when I hit that, the rest of me was almost 19. The other 2 were done by a professional psychologist who does children hypnosis. So it was all of it came out to be almost the same thing. Oh yeah, it was horrifying. I mean, they said they did unspeakable things. He basically said it just lost its mind for a little while and just was just biting out chunks of flesh, ripping out chunks of flesh, breaking bones. It was pretty rough. And then they put it back together. They did wipe the memory out, but they wanted to know. So now they have to limit the memory because it's back now. They brought back up a hypnosis, but and then there's the Seattle case. 200 Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, along with all the camping, all together was like 230 people taken. They were out there setting up camp, and they said they had seen what looked to be military trucks moving around in helicopters, and all of a sudden. One of the campers said something about, look, the mountain looks like it's opening in a UFO game. A saucer actually came out. And they see 2 more, and then the next thing they knew, they had all been taken. They were inside some facility somewhere. And they were messed with pretty good. They weren't hurt. They were scared. They wanted to, whoever was doing this wanted to scare them so they wouldn't say it. And out of the 230, I think all together we talked to 14. Originally it was only 2, but when it was all said and done, it turned out to be. Yeah, they were pretty harsh on them. They beat them up pretty good. They were beating up the campers in front of the children, saying, you're next. If you say anything, we're going to come to you and your parents. Sounds like a pretty rough thing for children. But there's a lot of stuff, a lot more stuff that went on in that whole abduction. Oh, yeah, because they took them in the place. The Greys did their regular routine of experiments, because these weren't really abductees. These were somebody that picked up in the wrong place at the wrong time. And then they were handed back over to the military, who did whatever, and then put them back. And I can't say that everybody there wasn't abducted. It may have been some of the crowd. But this group was taken because they saw something, not because they were being experimented. They probably scared them real good and like their memories and dropped them back off down the hill. And I got a call the next day. Yeah, first off, I got a call from one of the Boy Scouts, and then his girlfriend called me, and then the scout leader called me to tell me that. Oh, yeah. Oh, I guess I can tell that. Yeah, it's strange, those kind of cases, because they were taken up in the hills, taken up in the mountain probably, beaten pretty good. The children weren't beaten, but the adults were beaten pretty good. I mean, some of the teenager witnesses said they were beaten within inches of their life, and they were just freaking out because they knew they were next and they were going to die. And that's pretty much the whole thing, was they would die. And then they did a, on some of the kids they performed, I guess it would be like a pre-exam or something, and after that nobody remembers anything. And of course, I couldn't tell you what the other 100 and 215 remember, because we can't get them to come forward. Okay, so you were talking about Katrina now. Hurricane Katrina comes, and a friend of mine, who's a New Orleans policeman, calls me up one night and says, "Joe, I was taken by the reptilians to a particular mall that we all know. And they were using the mall to teach us how to bring people in, lock them down, and keep them." So they were doing these little like lightning stick things, like cattle prods, so they move people around. He said they were really smart, because they were using the pull down gates on the shopping mall bays as a prison to hold people and keep them locked up. And they were showing us how to herd people around and how to do things. And I wasn't doing something right. And I said, that the reptilian said something to me, and I turned around and kind of snapped at him. And he reached out and bit a chunk out of your boy's shoulder. And a couple of things went on there. And then he's talking about other training he had. So we did a show, because I said, I don't know how much this is true, how much is not. So I went on air. And this was 3 days after Katrina. Oh, we used dial-up to make this broadcast. As far as I know, it's the only broadcast that dial-up ever made in the city of New Orleans after Katrina to do a radio broadcast. It's probably some kind of record. So we do this, we get on air, and immediately, within a couple of days, I get reports from some NOPDs and some, well, first we got these reports from these NOPDs. So, first report, the guy calls us and he says, "You know, I was called out to Esplanade Avenue." The Esplanade is outside the Rue Carré, the French Wall. It's a very famous street where back in the day people used to stroll and do, sword fights and things like that, duels. But it's still used today. A lot of people walk up and down. It's right there by the court. It's really nice homes, and the French Quarter is there, and the Marini's there. So it's a fairly popular spot. Well, Blue Katrina was under about 6 foot water, 7 foot water. And so two NOPDs said we had a call. We went out there, and we see this person walking in the water, and we noticed that he was standing out the water probably about 8 or 9 feet. So we were like, "Wow, this guy's really, really tall, because the water's pretty deep." And so they signaled to the guy to come over there. They don't know who he is, and they don't want to go walking through the water. They were getting, because they were standing on the edge of the court. So whatever it is, it turns around and starts walking towards him. And for some reason, they called for backup, and two more NOPDs came out. Well, this thing starts walking up, and they start noticing it's something not right. So they start freaking out a little bit. And then one guy's saying, "Put your hands behind your head, do this, do that." And the thing just kept walking out and walking out and walking out. He said, "I remember all four of us drew our guns, because we knew it wasn't human, their words, not mine. And we were scared, yeah, their words, not mine." And he said, "I still remember pointing directly at this thing, squeezing the trigger, and nothing happened. The next thing I know, I'm sitting in my squad car with my partner, chit-chatting, and the other two were completely gone." He said they found them on the other side of town, sitting in their squad car, chit-chatting. So they weren't sure what it was. So in the hypnosis, we found out that it was a reptilian, big reptilian, who had come walking up. Well, there's more to this. While this was all going on, four or five National Guard guys came up in a boat. Came up on the state boat with M16s drawn. And they said all they remember was turning around the boat, putting their guns down, and driving off. They do remember seeing the reptilian. So you had 9 witnesses on the first day of this reptilian walking around the French Quarter. There was other mentions. Somebody said that they had seen a gathering of bodies with strings and pulling them to stop signs and tying them to stop signs. There were bodies tied to stop signs in several locations around the city. And the cops don't claim all of them. The cops said they thought there might have been some good Samaritans going around collecting floating bodies and dragging them and tying them off. Now, on a different note, on a couple of the bodies, there were actually bite marks, big bite marks. Something with canines. Somebody thought it might have been a dog or something, the mouth was too big, and the teeth weren't right. So they weren't sure what the hell it was. There was 4 or 5 of them that had big bite marks, just a chunk. Like something had bitten into it. And it didn't even take the meat out, so it was kind of weird. And so you got these cases, and then there's another one, there's the second group that met them the next day, they got into it. And the reptilian basically took 4 or 5 of them out and then had something come retrieve them and regenerate them, for lack of a better saying. I guess they walked up on them. This reptilian was hanging around this part of the French Quarter for 4 or 5 days. Nobody knows why. It was just walking around through the Marigny and through Esplanade, that area. And there were a lot of bodies found tied to. So, I mean, maybe he was serving a purpose. Maybe he was up to something. Maybe just, and it was more than one of them, actually. A couple times they said there were 2 or 3 of them walking together. It might have been they were just out enjoying the warm water in the city, walking through the swamp. You know? Nobody was there, remember. They weren't probably even expecting to see anybody. The city was deserted. So they probably wasn't even expecting to see anybody when these humans walked up on it. But it was National Guard and NOPD. But actually, the National Guard and NOPD incident were actually a couple of days further down than the first initial incident. But yeah, they were seen together. And then another one of the National Guard soldiers, it was weird. But he had this weird bite, like right here, and they couldn't figure out what it was. Even though the doctor said it did look like something like a lizard or some type of the shape of the bite, Benny B said, he didn't know what the hell it could be. Took a big chunk out of his neck. It was nasty. And under hypnosis, he said that he remembered walking up in this room. He said, I remember turning around. He said, must have did some kind of mind control. He said, then I remembered. So I made like 8 or 9 steps and my foot hit something. And when it did, I just spun around with my M16 and pulled back the hammer and loaded it. And all I remember was something hit me in the side of the neck. And I said, you ain't shooting me, buddy. Watch this. It took me out. But these kind of cases happen quite often. And it did seem like several reptilians were hanging around the city after New Orleans. Just, like I said, maybe enjoying the waters and doing some good Samaritan stuff. As far as we tell, they weren't killing anybody. They were scared the shit out of some people, mind you. But, and I would get more into detail of them stories, but we got like a minute left, so we gotta get out of here. I can't remember the next show that comes up. Frank and Jane or something, Jesse and Johnny or something. No, it's the Adderall. They got Dr. Rita Lewis on tonight with them. So be sure to hang out and catch Michelle and Amelia talking with Dr. Rita tonight. So it's always a great show. Dr. is a great guest. The girls do a fabulous job hosting, so be sure to tune in to the Adderall coming up in about 10 minutes. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in to United Public Radio and UFO The Cover. Any moans, bones, glitches, complaints, or gripes, write to Amelia Pisano or to... I'm sorry. Hillary Popkin. Anyway, I hope everybody has a great weekend. Stay safe, stay out of trouble, and I'll see y'all next Wednesday. Good night.